Well, I invite you to go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Hebrews this morning, continuing our study as we will be, Lord willing, should he tarry, for a good portion of this year. The book of Hebrews, a wonderful and rich book, many passages in this that are challenging and really, though, there's so much in here that is for us and good for us. I'm just really looking forward to it and continue to be blessed as I prepare and study for our times together on Sunday morning. And just understanding the heart and passion of God, the writer of Hebrews, and really even, and I hope for all of us, helping us connect the dots to the Old Testament and God's working in his people, the children of Israel, as we study and as we look at the book of Hebrews. Today, next week, and then very little the third week, but some, we're going to be talking about angels. And you may notice as you look at Hebrews, and we're going to read an extended passage today. I wasn't sure we should read the whole thing today, but really we need to read it all in one setting at least one time. Hebrews 1:5 to 2:18 is what we're going to be reading together here in a minute. We have to do that to get the sense of it. We really need to do that at least one time. And you'll notice in there that it says the word angel at least 10 times, depending on which translation you have. And so a lot about angels in these passages, a lot of good application for us as well, and we'll come back to some of those in the weeks to come. But for these next couple weeks, really we want to look at and think about angels, and, you know, just so we can get a good understanding. And, you know, if we could get right to the, hey, do this stuff, hey, do this, right? But I think we miss such a huge portion of the point of the writer of Hebrews if we don't really understand why it's so important and about angels themselves. And so that's what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks, really be mostly talking about angels. Let's go ahead and read it together, and then we'll kind of get into this passage this morning and see a good application, hopefully, by the end. Hebrews 1:5 is where we'll be starting. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," and again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire?" But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness and the scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both of signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will? For he has not put the world to come, which we speak of, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him by whom are all things and by whom are all or for whom are all things and by whom are all things and bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, of which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am in the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Wow, what a full passage. Love to talk about all those things, and we will over the next several weeks. But just for today, thinking about and concentrating on the aspect of who angels are and what they are and how that impacts our understanding and interpretation of this passage. Let's go ahead and pray together, though. Ask God's blessing on our time together before we study. Lord God, again, thank you for this rich and full passage. Certainly angels are not the centerpiece of this passage, but they help us understand it. And so help us today as we think about these things, as we certainly think of application, we would consider this morning your point. And help us with openness of our own heart. Lord, many of us have known you for years. Many of us have even seen these passages, even understand things about angels, have maybe even differing views and things. God, just give us openness of heart to hear from you, to see your will, God, to know you, and to just embrace this truth that we are going to look at today and let you change our lives, God, from the inside out, that we could know you more and be more like you, that we could please you more, that, God, we could be more fit servants of yours this morning. God, you know our weaknesses. You know the things that we bring with us as we come from our week. You know the things that are pressing on us. We pray that you would just take those out of the way this morning and give us an understanding and, Lord, even just a willingness to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Angels. So, again, like I said, this first part of what we're going to be talking about, even next week as well, is this issue and aspect of angels, who they are, what they are, and to help us make good application. A few things then just about them from the Bible in general for this morning. First thing is that some people, and certainly, you know, whenever you say some people, that's pretty broad, right? You got a pretty wide sampling then at that point. But maybe even many people deny the existence of angels. Now, certainly we know that people in our world are going to deny things spiritual. That's not the point. That's all over the place, right? And deny God, you know, deny Jesus, deny angels. It's not a big quantum leap there, but that happens. But some people that claim to follow Jehovah God, and even people that claim to be Christian, deny the existence of angels. In the day of the writer of Hebrews here, a large group of Jewish people denied the existence of angels at all. And primary in that are the Sadducees. And Acts 23, just kind of as a blurb, talking about how Paul is defending himself and the doctrine that he was sort of espousing there, why he felt he was being persecuted. It says, for the Sadducees say there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Well, the point for today is there are people who claim to know God, and they say no angels, no such thing, it's a myth, they deny their existence. Now, the primary problem with that, and I think the primary problem you're pretty easy to see from the Sadducees, is that the Bible is absolutely crystal clear that angels are real, not an idea or whatever. They're real created beings. And that's part of, again, the part with the Sadducees, not for today's study, but they didn't even really take the Old Testament. They didn't even really want to believe that. They say, no, we have the book, they would, the five books of Moses. That was all that they were willing to even ascend. Okay, that's from God. So, okay, pretty easy to see, even though in there there's things about angels, but pretty easy to see why discounting of the Word of God leads you to make up whatever you want to make up. Well, I've never seen an angel, or I don't know about angels. There's no such thing as angels. Angels are real. There's many angels in the Bible. Angels are real created beings with a distinct personality. And I don't think I put down all these references. I'll just be saying references. If you're a reference person, you want to go back and look these up, I'll just shoot some to you. I've got a lot of them today. I'm not going to read them all. You can find in Daniel 10:21 about distinct personalities of angels, intellect, 1 Peter 1:12, emotions, Luke 2:12, a will. Angels have a will, and we will come back to that here as we talk about angels in general. They have the ability to make decisions and things. They have some angels, and probably all of them, but some angels have a name. And there's only two angels with names in the Bible, Gabriel and Mark and Michael. Now, if you want to go and be the person that says, what about Lucifer? Fine. What about Lucifer, Abaddon, demons, all that? There's some of those fallen angels that have names in the Bible. But really, there's only two of the good angels that are listed in the Bible with names, which is significant as well, isn't it? It's not something that we really necessarily need to know. Gabriel and Michael are the only two that are listed there. On the flip side, so some deny their existence. On the flip side, some people are just struck with angels, taken by angels, consumed by it, really put a lot of time and energy thinking about angels and wanting to know more about angels. And you know, it could be many different reasons why that might be. And, you know, you could talk about that for a long time, but I think it's a lot about the mystery of them. And I think that's why it's good for us over this next few weeks here just to talk about and think about angels. Because the writer of Hebrews gives us some amazing applications. Especially if you're in that camp, you know, if you're just fascinated by angels, and if you, and I'm not trying, I don't want you to think, I don't know this about anyone here, but if you have angels all over your house or something like that, you know, to think biblically about angels, because it has gone to quite an extreme in our day, quite honestly, where there's all kinds of things about angels, songs and poems and statues, right, and pictures and unbiblical thoughts expressed in created paintings and all those kind of things that talk about angels and really an exalting of angels to a wrong place in our lives. There's a right place and a wrong place. Angels are not to be worshipped. Just to be real clear, and Revelation 22, John, and you can imagine why John, I'm not saying that this wouldn't happen to any of us, but why John tried to worship this angel. I mean, he gets caught up into heaven. He's shown all these things that are going to happen. And he's in heaven, he's in the presence of God, and he's just overwhelmed by all the glory and everything. And John falls down and starts to worship this angel that's helping him and showing things to him. And he says, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. It's overwhelmed, right? Then he said to me, see that you do not do that. I think probably what he really said was, don't do that! What's wrong with you? Right? See that you don't do that! Get up! For I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, of you and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the word of this book. Worship God. Right? Pretty clear. Angels are not to be worshipped. And, you know, pretty serious deal there when John, you know, he was, and again, they're not trying to beat him up. He was overwhelmed, and I think it was just an expression of him in the situation. But they're not to be worshipped. And so there's a wrong place for this overemphasizing of angels in our lives. Angels, however, are created beings. Nehemiah 9:6, Psalm 148:2 and 5, Colossians 1:16 talk about angels being created beings. Angels are not God, and they are not gods themselves. I'll come back to that again a little later as well, but they are not. There's no such thing as a small g God in reality. There's no other gods besides God, Jehovah, God, the Creator God. These angels were created sometime before the seventh day when God rested. Sometime before that. Not real certain on when that would be, but we do know that they were created sometime before that, because God hasn't created anything new after that. And they were there singing even when God was doing some of his creative work. And so they were created sometime before that, not real clear on when. And God created a great number of angels. And Hebrews 12:22, just sort of in passing, I'm really looking forward to that passage. That's a glorious one. But it talks about angels and the number of them. And it says, "You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." So there's a lot of them. There's a lot of angels. And God created a multitude of angels. All the angels were created holy. And it's a very important point. And you can think about it like this. We'll come back to this. You can talk to me about it afterwards if you're excited about this and you're fired up about it or whatever. But God did not create any demons. Right? Isn't that important? God did not create any demons. That came later. God created all the angels holy. There, a third of them, which is a good thing, only a third of them fell. But there's two-thirds left of the good angels. But God created them all holy. In Genesis 1:31, that's very good. All things, he said everything that he saw is very good. God created these beings then as servants. Again, I think that's a really important point as to why we don't make much of them, why we don't worship them, why they should not be the centerpiece of our life, is because they're just servants. The very word angelos, which is the word that we get angel from, you can hear it, right, in the English, angel, angelos, Greek word, it just means servant. It means servant. And this same passage, ministers of flame, quoting the Old Testament there, is the word diakonos, which means minister, servant, those that serve. Interesting tidbit as an aside there. I was chewing on this because apostolos also means servant. And I was thinking, why apostolos, why angel? And apostolos actually has a little bit richer meaning, as I was finding this week, that it's like a delegate servant kind of thing. Someone sent and appointed by God. So it's kind of an interesting deal I found out this week. But an angel means messenger servant, ministering servant. And God, we'll see that we'll spend a little more time on this next week, but God used angels all throughout the Bible for many of his tasks, many of the things that he, God wants to do something, he has an angel go and minister that task, be a messenger. Angels were created to worship God. You can find this all throughout the scriptures. We'll look at some of these next week. Isaiah 6 is a great example of the angels that sit in the throne room. All they do all the time is just say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's their job. They give praise and worship and honor to God. Now, again, one important point before we move on today to think about is that you may think or have heard at some point in your life someone say, "Angels, so-and-so died, they're going to be an angel." Right? That is not true. There's no text in the Bible that says that people become angels or you get your wings or any of that kind of stuff. That's a human thought. Angels are created beings. God made angels a specific way for a specific purpose. People are people. Angels are angels. We're distinct. We do not become angels. We do be glorified. We become like angels in many ways, but we are not angels. We will not become an angel. And that's a good thing according to God's creative genius. Angels. Some deny them. Some are infatuated with them, even to the point of worship. But there's a right way to respond to them. Now, the two kinds of angels in the Bible, then, since we're just mostly talking about them, mentioned them already, good angels and fallen angels. You could say good and bad, but it's really more accurate, good and fallen. The only archangel mentioned, as we talk about the different kinds, is Michael. And he is the leader of at least some of the angelic forces. And many people believe really all. I don't know. But certainly we see Michael in the Bible leading angelic forces. He's called the captain of some of their forces and things like that. And he has many ministries that are mentioned in the Bible that are yet future. You can find some of that like in Revelation 12:7. He's the only archangel mentioned, though, for sure, that we know that he's an archangel. Cherubim, then, is another kind of good angel. And I guess according to Hallmark, cherubim are fat little things. Now, I don't know for sure that that's right. Don't bank on that. But we do know that there are cherubim in the Bible, and they are the guards of the angelic company. They were assigned to guard the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:22-24. The Ark of the Covenant, very interesting to me as I thought about this, Exodus 25:18-22. The Ark of the Covenant, when it was made, the cherubim, in one way or the other, you've seen different pictures, right? You've seen them standing side by side with their wings touching over the ark. But I think probably what it was is where they had the two cherubim facing and the wings. Have you ever seen that picture? And the wings are touching and it's like shadowing over the ark. I think that's a good illustration. I don't know which one it was for sure because we don't have a picture of the ark. But they're there for that reason. They're the guards of the angelic company, the cherubim. Satan, interestingly enough, was a cherub. Isn't that interesting? Before he fell, Satan was part of that group. He was that kind of angel, a cherub. Seraphim are only mentioned once in the Bible, and that's in Isaiah 6:2-7. Talks about the cherubim being in the throne, or the seraphim being in the throne room of God. And they are pictured as the continual worshipers of God. Holy, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. So as far as we know, that's the purpose of seraphim. That's all they do. They just praise and worship God all the time because he's worthy of that. Always near God's throne, always in worship. The second kind of angel then, today, which you weren't created this way, we're just created with only holy angels, are demons or fallen angels. This is where, again, you can understand that God made angels with a will. He gave them a real choice. At least once in their existence, they had the choice to choose God. Now, there's all kinds of people want to talk about that, right? Oh, can they fall today and all this? Who knows? Doesn't matter. We don't have that information. Probably not. A third of the angels went with Satan, and two-thirds were still holy. But the fallen angels, then, are the other kind of angelic beings and that are in existence today. They exercised a moral choice and rejected God. Doesn't that just blow you away? Here you are, you're with God in his presence, you see him as he is, and you say, meh, wow. You know, I'll find out more about that in heaven sometime, but that's just stunning. I guess do people not do that every day today? Some of these fallen angels are kept in prison right now, and so at some point they did something that they knew they were not supposed to do, and God said, okay, fine, and they got confined. And there are many of those. 2 Peter 2:4 says, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment. Think about bad choice day. Reject God, and then all you get is chains until judgment. Wow. Bad choice. So some of them are. Some of them are confined like that. Jude 6, the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There's a lot of theories and things about what that passage means, and that's okay. But for our purpose today, we can see that they are confined. They're not able to be active in the world. And just for clarity of thought, I kind of think of it then, okay, those are the fallen angels who are confined. But for our purposes, the fallen angels that are not confined, we call them demons. Those are the spirits that are active in the world, that have some level of freedom, some level of ability to do things in this world. The ones that are not right now chained. And there's a day coming, even in Revelations 9:1-14, it talks about how God is going to, I think it's an angel that does it. Kind of interesting. God opens up the bottomless pit, and a lot of the demons that are confined get freed to be active in the world, including the one named angel there that comes out, Apollyon or Abaddon, that can go and destroy things. It means destroyer. And so they're confined, some are, but the demons are the ones that are not confined. Demons, Satan and his demons are the ones that actively right now work against and pursue opposing God's plans in the world. They are active in trying to thwart God's purposes in any way that they possibly can. Some people worship them. And this is, you know, some people overtly worship Satan. That's confusion, isn't it? Whoa. They overtly worship God's enemy. Some people even worship other demons, and that's where we really get this small g idea. And just get this clear in your mind today. All pagan worship is demon worship. Any worship that is not worship of the true and living God is demon worship. How come all kinds of crazy spiritual, magical stories come out of countries with voodoo and demon worship, and it's all made up, right? Not all of it. There's demons active in the world. It's not all made up. Some of it is. You know, so you hear a story, all this stuff happened, and you can immediately go into your mind, okay, either they're lying or they're worshiping some demon. Yay. Right? It's real stuff. There's real demons active in our world today, and all kinds of things happen. You can see that all throughout the scriptures as people were practicing magic and practicing sorcery and worshiping the dead and all that. And they think they're doing those things or worshiping demons. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Rather, the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. And that's a pretty serious issue in the church there, isn't it? They were doing things that were connecting them to the pagan worship of their day. Paul says, no. You can't worship the living God and worship demons at the same time. I want you to be pure in your worship. Worship the living God. Now, Satan, or Lucifer, is the leader of the fallen angels. Deceiver, enemy. Morning Star is named it originally. But he is the deceiver and accuser of God's people. And he's pictured in heaven, we'll see this a little bit, making accusation against God's people all the time. The adversary accusing. He always wars against the purposes of God. Well, I tell you what, think about your own life a little bit here this morning. And I could say whenever you war against purposes of God, you're being like a demon, you're being like the devil. That's fun. But think about your life with me here. When you've had a time in your life when you've warred against the purposes of God, when you've known that you're rebelling and you are fighting against God's will and you're bucking against it, what happens? It's miserable, isn't it? It's a terrible time. You look back at that and you say, praise God for delivering me from that time because that was killing me. That's what Satan does all the time. He has got to be one angry being, doesn't he? There's no contentment. There's no satisfaction in his heart. You can see then why he's so active in trying to kill and destroy and hurt and bring people down. He's always futilely warring against the purpose of God. He's engaged in a constant battle that he can never win. Wow. That would be crushing. You can see why he's so full of anger and hatred. He was the one who tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. He led a third of the other angels in rebellion against God. He is real and very powerful. Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the devil. I believe in this. Well, this is what the Bible tells us, all right? He is real. He is very powerful. However, he is not anything compared to God. I remember it was really a funny story. Pastor, you would know his name if I said it. Maybe I'll just tell you, it was Joe Stoll. He got invited to go speak at a conference to a group of people who you wouldn't think would normally have Joe Stoll come and talk. And they were all about this demonic stuff, and it was all very emotional. And they let him speak on what he wanted to. His topic was the devil, God's whipping boy. The devil is nothing compared to God. He's nothing compared to the great creator God. The devil is nothing but a created being. Very powerful, yes. Very active, able to do things that are beyond human comprehension, but nothing compared to God. And we'll talk about this next week again. We're going to look at some specific events when the devil would have loved to do something else, and God said no. He couldn't do anything about it. And so, kind of interesting there. The devil has to obey when God speaks. Doesn't that comfort you today? Sometimes feel like life is pressing you down. Sometimes you see the circumstances of your life and you want to blame the devil. Maybe. But you know what? God let it. Because there is nothing that the devil can do in your life that God does not allow. Nothing. Write it down. There is no oppression that he can bring. There is no fear for God's people of the devil or demons. Because God Almighty is far superior to them in every way. You don't have to fear them. And you see that God, that the devil is nothing compared to God. It really helps us understand passages like Isaiah 14. It's not going to be on the board. You can turn there real quick. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12, when it talks just briefly about his fall, Satan's fall. And you can see what caused him to fall there. What did I say? 14:12. Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, now you see here, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. He thought much of himself. He made much of himself. And he was glorious. But he was nothing compared to God. He got it out of order. We can't do that today as Christians, as God's people. Let's get the order right. God is high and glorious. God is the one we worship. God is the one we make much of. We don't have to fear the devil. We don't have to fear Satan. And we're going to see this in 2 weeks. You've got to come back in 2 weeks. If you want to see somebody fired up, that's the only reason you come. You're going to see me fired up, all right? In 2 weeks, and we talk about how Jesus Christ has come and destroyed the devil and freed those who all their lifetime were in bondage to fear of death. Wow. The devil is nothing compared to our great God. The fate of every fallen angel is the lake of fire. Matthew 25:41. He will also say to those on his left hand, this is talking to people here. He's going to separate the people that know him, the people that don't know him, the people on the left, he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, you can get the heart of God there. God didn't prepare everlasting destruction for people. It was prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. We kind of take and we do like Satan if we reject God. It's just crazy. We don't have to have that. As people today, we don't have to have the lake of fire as our ultimate destination. We can trust God. We can turn to him. As I said, we're going to see Jesus has provided a way for us to escape that, to trust him and to know him. Now, just for today, very briefly, it's very interesting, isn't it? We can talk about more next week. It's also very interesting and even maybe even a little more rich as we look specifically in the Old Testament accounts of angels. But that's not the point of this passage. The point is not, hey, angels are this, angels are that. The point of this is, look at angels, they're glorious. You already know about angels. Let me stir you up to think about Jesus. That's really what the writer of Hebrews wants us to do this morning. So let's just look at a few of those. How Jesus Christ, these angels, yes, they're glorious, they're powerful. We'll see more of that next week. Think about the history of angels in the Bible. But let's think about today. Angels in relationship to how glorious Jesus Christ is. First, look at you can get that, how the point is in verses 1-5. Which of the angels did he ever say? Right? Okay, yeah, I get it. You're excited about angels. Which of the angels did he ever say? You are my son. But to the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Again, in verse 2-5, he has not put the world to come, which we speak, in subjection to angels. Right? It's this contrast and comparison that goes all throughout the whole book of Hebrews here, contrasting what we exalt, what we think of, and what we're excited about to Christ, to Jesus Christ. Jesus is not an angel. Verse 10 tells us he is a creator. He's a creator of the world. He made angels, right? He's the one you're excited about, angels. You think they're glorious? Jesus made those, right? He is God in verses 5 and 8 of chapter 1. Verse 6 of chapter 1. But when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. He is God. He is worshipped by angels. Angels were made for that very reason, as we talked about in verse 14. He makes his angels a minister, a spirit of flame, ministers of fire. He makes them to serve God. They're his servants. And so a good application for us as we think about that today is don't worship angels, certainly. You know, I'm sure probably no one that comes here today is going to be one of those people that bow down to a statue or whatever. But be careful in your life that you don't make too much of them. You don't have to pray to an angel today. Don't do that. It's not appropriate. Don't pray to angels. Don't make much of angels. Don't exalt angels overly. That's too much. But remember that it's Jesus who created them to serve and to be his ministers. Verse 2:14 gives us another good application. I just talked about it here. As much as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that he through death might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That's one of our primary applications for today. Not really down to that point yet, but you don't have to fear demons. You don't have to fear them. If you're God's child, even if you're not, if you're God's child today, you don't have to fear demons. I'll tell you a little bit about that here in a minute. This passage tells us about Jesus and what he accomplished. It's talking about the cross. It's talking about the superiority of Christ. It's talking about who he is. And just the only thing that he really uses angels is to stir us up and remind us of how incredibly glorious Jesus Christ is. And go back to 2:1. Therefore, we're going to keep seeing this all through Hebrews. I'm starting to make a list for myself of this because I'm getting fired up about this. All of these wonderful truths, therefore. All of these wonderful truths, therefore. And he says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression received a just reward, disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first was spoken to Jesus, now the people that saw him tell us? You see that? It's all about Jesus Christ. The therefore then is, in light of what we know about how amazing angels are, think about now the responsibility that we have, because we have Jesus. We have Jesus Christ. It reminds us who he is and our responsibility. And so the first application is listen up. Listen up. Pay attention. As we go through the book of Hebrews, get these truths about who Jesus Christ is. Let him work in your life. Don't do, as we're going to see over the next several weeks, 5 or 6, don't do like the children of Israel did when they had been given so much revelation, they had been given so much by God, and they just had a kind of a meh attitude about it. But look at Jesus Christ and listen up. Don't be like the Jews who were in the church receiving this letter and they're just kind of on the fence even whether or not they're really going to live for Jesus or not. Don't be like that. Listen up. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Keeps pointing us back all through this to God's Messiah. I will, the Son, he says to him, I'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll give you, just keep talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What Jesus is going to do, what Jesus did. All about Jesus Christ and pointing them to God's Messiah. Children of Israel had a lot. They were given a lot. And a lot of times, we'll see this over the next few weeks, a lot of times they just rejected God. Don't be like them. Listen up. And then the second one, don't fear demons today. We'll talk a little more about this again next week as we see but you don't have any reason to do that today. Jesus Christ is far superior. Nothing happens in your life apart from the good and sovereign God overseeing that and letting it happen. It should give us a lot of comfort today. if you're bound up in that prison that we're going to look at in 2 weeks, and you're fearful, or maybe you haven't really understood, and you've seen so much crazy stuff happening in the world, and it causes you to fear, you don't have to today. You have a God who is the high, most high, creator God. And if you are his child, it says all throughout this passage that he loves you. You are his child. He is not ashamed to call you brethren. You don't have to fear these very powerful beings because there's nothing they can do to you because you know the creator God. Can you imagine if you were the most powerful person in the world? And no one even compared to you in power. If anyone even tried to mess with you, you could squash them with your thumb. And they wanted to hurt your child. Would you say, oh, man. Yeah, go ahead. Crush them. I don't care about them. Right? You see how we don't have to fear demons today? We don't have to get so, you know, over, it kind of makes much of demons, quite honestly. It's kind of a weird thing. Almost turns into worship, sadly. You don't have to fear. No fear today. Remember who God is. Listen up. Respond to him. Turn to him. Don't be like the Israelites. Love him. Make much of him. Don't be like those that sat on the fence and thought, I can just have my Judaism. I can have my law. I can have my, and I'll just kind of add Jesus to it if I want to, if I don't want to, whatever. Don't be like them. And don't fear today. There is no reason for us to fear angels even, right? The unknown, all that mystery, because we have Jesus Christ here. And you can know him today. You can make much of him. You can turn to him. More on that over the next couple of weeks. Let's pray together. Lord, again, it's very interesting as we look at and think through the things about spiritual beings, and certainly, as we know from your word, very powerful, incredibly powerful, able to do things that we could never even imagine how, but they're only able to because of you, because you created them that way. They're fully under your sovereign control. They cannot go outside of your sovereign will. We know you still give them choices to make. We know you still do that, and we accept that. But we know that nothing happens apart from you allowing it. And so help us to rest in that today. Help us all through this time in the book of Hebrews, as we compare things, as we compare beings, as we compare creation, whatever, anything, to Jesus, help it really to sink in our lives, God. We all here, I believe, ascend to that. We know Jesus is glorious. We know he is who he is. We've learned. We understand it. We ascend to it. God, help it to be real in our lives. God, help us to really believe it. Help us to live for Christ today. Lord, that we would make much of him, that we would glorify you as we make much of Jesus. That, God, everything about our lives would show that we believe the truth that we profess. That, God, we are your children, that you love us, that we don't have to fear. That we can live for you, and it is the good life for us. That we can obey you, and it is sweet to do so. God, help us to grow in that and encourage one another in that way this week. In Jesus' name, amen.